Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Shalom is
hey,
the light.
Shalom. Hey.
Hey. Sister Mary.
Hey, Sister Mary.
Hey.
Hey, Smoochies.
Smoochies. Amen. Amen. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel here. Man in the voice is Rhea Serene Israel. Shalom, Israelite.
Praise and peace. Shabbat shalom.
King. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Already in the mode.
Already.
With all of that being said, tonight is the Thursday night edition. We have coming out of Peoria, Illinois, with the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class in the East Corner, Isaiah the Hebrew Brown.
Oh, come on, man. You know, hey, grace and peace, family. Grace and peace.
Bring that.
Because I sure ain't got no boxing gloves. Oh, razor blades and lemon juice. You already know. But you said stand in the east side corner. Hey, bro, you say stand on the east side corner. I'm like, I ain't got no boxing gloves. I'm going to get knocked out.
You got a kid in a book, cabinet, jack with candles on. You in a ring like that, you know what I mean?
Right, tell me about
you
it.
You got your boxing gloves, Brother Isaiah. You got them. You got that book.
Amen. All praises. Hopefully ain't no chastisement. That's all I hope, because it ain't gonna go well.
I know, huh?
I'm just trying to get my man in the ring with one of those, long tunics and the sandals and the tablets and all of that, and we'd be doing something.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So, with that being said, tonight's precept is the righteous, the wicked, and the normal. Okay.
Let me repeat that
to you again. The righteous, the wicked, and the normal. Now, where they fit in your book, and where do you fit in these three groups? I guess we better find that one out for sure, huh? All right, So with all that being said, we're going to turn this one over to our brother Isaiah Brown.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, sir. Thanks, Elder. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Grace and Peace family. This is Brother Isaiah bringing the Bible Blog Talk Show tonight to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. Thank you for tuning in. And hopefully we all get the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that the Most High have in store for us. You know, man, the Lord been dealing with a lot of things, you know. And, you know, because it's, you know, like I said, it ain't me. It's just scriptures have to be fulfilled. The Bible said knowledge shall increase. And, you know, I said it before, I said it again. This knowledge shall increase doesn't mean the percentage that whoever you look up to, knowledge-based, that everybody's going to be. But some people are going to be able, through the grace of the Father, to override all that. Ain't taking nothing from them. Ain't taking nothing from people who might not know as much. But the whole thing is that God has a portion of people that he's going to show a little bit more understanding to. And through the grace of God, that can blow out just like what the Lord did to Moses when he came to the elders, how he put that same spirit on them. But at the same point in time is, according to the scriptures, knowledge shall increase. And, you know, and we're dealing with this precept, you know, it's basically, you know, it's so many ways of putting this precept, brothers and sisters. And the reason why I say it's so many ways of putting this precept is for the simple fact is that, you know, this precept is basically keeping you on edge. And what I mean by keeping you on edge is keeping you girded up. No, it's keeping you ready. You know, because if you out there talking the word of God with somebody, you talk to some people, you know, they're going to have questions. You know, they're going to be curious on things. And the Bible said to prove all things, you know. And we go, but how we're going to do the precept tonight, we're going to prove all things with the righteous. And we're going to use a pedestal of the righteous and the normal. This is part one, because how the precept is set up, I'm only allowed to give you a portion of it so we can open our minds up. And then through the grace of God, next time we could do a part two and part three, and the vision should be seen more clearly. But the name of the precept is The Righteous, The Wicked, and The Normal, Part 1. And through the grace of God, we might be able to pull two parts out, or we might just go ahead and do three parts, or it might be four parts, just depending on how the Spirit rolls. You know, but you know, in order to understand scriptures, in order to understand scriptures, we have to understand the word ordain. The word ordain is something coming. You know, it's already been mentioned and it's going to be brought forth. We have that for the righteous and we also have that for the wicked. You know? But then we also got the normal lingering around. So what I'm going to do is break down all three forms of the precept with the righteous, the wicked, and the normal so we understand before we go any further. So we have the righteous. The righteous, according to how we're going to use it tonight, is, well, ordained. Remember that word, ordained, to come. Because you have the righteous that was spoken of before they even came to existence. And if you look at the things that those righteous people have done, they were already fit and they already had the keys to everlasting life before they even crept into their mother's womb. We also have the wicked, who was ordained to come. Man of perdition, Judas. Somebody had to play them wicked parts. That's why the book said, woe unto that man that got to play that part. And then you also have the normal. You know, that's just a regular brew, a regular sis, or somebody that, you know, might not know as much, you know, but they're just doing the best they can with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that they have. Or even if they don't even know the truth, but they're just decent people that's trying to do what's right with what they have. Those are considered regular people, but these three are kind of different. Now, if you're righteous according to the pedestal of Moses, Aaron, Samuel, John the Baptist, King David, King Solomon, and stuff like that, and you see that you have those same abilities, there's a good strong chance and possibility that you could be the ones that are ordained to come. But if you are ordained to come according to the scriptures and the things that the Lord has set up for you to do righteousness, then it's already set up a throne for you. So what we have to do is look at that platform and understand why when the righteous fall off, God whooped their head, but he don't take their throne. But what if you're a normal person? There's a chance you might lose your throne. It might be a chance that you could lose everlasting life. And there's also a chance that you'll take your shot up in the second resurrection if you're a normal person. But if you ordain to come, according to the scriptures, like how some of the prophets is, I haven't read nowhere where none of them lost their thrones. But the Lord do get his portion of that backside of that whip. Because if the Lord, before you were born, or when the Lord was fixing you out to do to have your purpose before you even became a thought, we got to understand. There ain't no thrones being taken away from people like that. Why? Because it's already set up in your mindset to seek and serve God. So even though if you do go a little bit to the left, it's only for so long you could go to the left because you're going to find yourself back on the right path because you was calling for righteousness. But if you're normal, then there's a chance that if you go too far left off, you might get yourself cut off. These are two different things. So what we're going to do is put this whole front piece on the platform to see if we can get the understanding of the two things. And we're going to do it with the wicked sometime next week, or God willing, maybe on a Sunday or something. Who knows? Because there's so much in the scripture, and I'm not going to hold y'all hostage. Because you can be here over 4 hours, and we only still dealing with the righteous. And we even get to the wicked or the normal. So we're going to deal with the righteous, and then we're going to use the normal on a pedestal to show that when the righteous slip off, but they ordained to come and they have done righteousness, you're going to get your slaps on the wrist, you'll get knocked out, but you're going to still get the kingdom. But if you're normal and you try to pull off a messed up stunt, you might find yourself in the second resurrection like a fire. We got to understand the normal, and we got to understand the righteous. So, Brother Nakoma, you on now, big bro?
Shalom.
Shalom, big bro. How you doing?
Oh, great.
Amen, amen. All right. The reader tonight is Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Lil Israel. So it's time for us to get into the precept, and let's go ahead and find out what this stuff is. Let's find out what this piece is talking about. So I ask all sisters to please cover your head, and all brothers to please uncover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I learn diligently and do communicate her liberally. I do not hide her riches, for she is a treasure unto men that never faileth, which they that use become the friends of God, being commended for the gifts that come from learning. God hath granted me to speak as I would, and to conceive as it is meet for the things that are given me, because it is he that leadeth unto wisdom and directeth the wise. For in his hand are both we and our words, all wisdom also in knowledge of workmanship. For he hath given me certain knowledge of the things that are, namely to know how the world was made, and the operation of the elements, the beginning, ending, and midst of times, the alteration of the turning of the sun and the changing of seasons, the circuits of years, and the position of stars, the nature of living creatures and the fury of wild beasts, the violence of winds and the reasoning of men, the diversity of plants and the virtue of roots. And in all such things as are either secret or manifest, them I know. I had read Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, 13 to 21. May the Lord bless the reading his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, you be fanning these pieces, man. Hold that one down. That's gonna be the last scripture for the precept. Man, you be finding them. I like that one, man. That's a blessing too, because the best part about it is, and all praise to the Most High forever, that's sitting in the third heaven. The whole precept we're doing today is in the King James Version. And the brother just read something from Apophica that we can tear the threads with the precept. That is unanimous. Unanimous is on the same accord. So if you can, bro, can you hold that one down for me into the last scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen, all praises. Well, all right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to take these scriptures off to shreds. And as always, pure razor blades and lemon juice. And just to let you guys know that this is just a short platform just to put some on the table and to open our minds and to open our mindset up. You know, so it's not long at all, just a little time, you know. And then the grace of God, after we deal with this precept, and then, you know, Lord willing, we'll be able to see another day, we can dig further deep into it. But right now, this is a new platform. It's a new platform, a bit vain and hubris on a couple of notes, but in all, this is a brand new platform for us to observe and see. So the name of the precept is called, one more time, it's called The Righteous, The Wicked, and The Normal, Part 1. It's because in order to understand what's going on according to the scriptures and what you, in case you out there teaching or doing your thing, what we need to understand is that the platform of the righteous and the normal are completely different. The righteous is going to get a throne regardless if they like it or not. Because when you look at the scriptures and when the prophets do something stupid and enough information to get swung like a fire, the Lord never do. But he whipped their head and chastised them and take vengeance on their inventions. Or we can use the usual, the Lord show mercy on whom he show mercy to. That's in that too, can't forget about that. But what if they are ordained to come? What if their story has already been written out like John the Baptist? That ain't no lake of fire material. That's not even a second resurrection material. Because they were created for the first. That's why they were ordained to come to do righteousness. That is not a conversation for a normal man. The Lord got great things for a normal man, but a normal man can't pull off those things that the Lord has called. It could be one of us that have been called or ordained for the first resurrection. Who knows? Or we could just be regular. We don't know that. So that's why it's best for us to stick to what we know. Do what's written in the pages of the book and try to knock off as much sin as possible. Not to be in your goodie bag 24/7, but learn to do righteousness. Because we got to see that the Lord is not showing favoritism. So this precept is actually to show how God is not showing favoritism as well. Amen. I just thought about that. This is also a platform to show that God is not showing favoritism. It's just his platform on how he got things set up. Because some of the things that David pulled off, if you're a normal brother or a wicked man, you know it's slaughter, straight slaughter. Second resurrection, it don't look good for you. It's a good chance you get in a fight. But now King David. No, not King David. Because his story was written out before Samuel went to anoint King David. What did God say? I have found the man after my own heart. That don't go to the fire. No matter how much of that flesh he might have put on. That's not like fire material. Even Moses, Aaron, and Samuel, who took on their own inventions. That's enough to get knocked off because you read in the book of Revelations, the Lord said, don't add or don't take away. Why? I'm going to put these plagues on you and I'm going to take your name off the book of life. But no, not Moses. Moses getting the kingdom whether he like it or not. Samuel's getting the throne whether he like it or not. And Samuel was getting the throne whether he like it or not. Because they were ordained to come for righteousness. So before we get into the precept, it's very urgent for us to read the book of Isaiah chapter 55. The book of Isaiah chapter 55. So we can respect the Most High on the greatest, highest level we possibly can. We're in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. And what we're going to do is read verses 8, and 9. The book of Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Isaiah 55, starting at the 8th. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
So this is our respect, you know? At the end of the day, we really don't know what the Most High is doing. But he do leave us prophets to put us on the right on the right road, the right way to go. But in all, we really don't know what's going on. Because his thoughts is just way too high. His thoughts is way too high. And how he do things and how he get things set up is so high for us to even comprehend. So all we can do is do the best we can to get this thing right. And this is why we went here first, to get the respect we need from the Most High. So when we going off and out and about doing our precepts, the next time we should understand the platform between the righteous and the normal. So when you putting a precept together about this, that, and the other, or when you got your whole platform set up with the righteous, learn the platform. You got the righteous and you got the normal. So which one are we pointing at when we bring up this conversation with our precepts? Or when you talk to somebody out on the streets? Or if you got a lesson going on, if you're in charge of a congregation or a church, when you start your lesson and you talk about these things in a certain manner, we got to understand the righteous and the normal. Because certain things the righteous can do, the Lord will slap their, the Lord will knock their teeth out. But if the normal pull that off, it don't look well at all. So we need to understand that. So now let's look at some of this ordained to come. Let's go in the book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1. And we're not going to get too far into this conversation because I just want to get what we need out of here. We're in the book of Luke chapter 1, but we do got some reading to do. So we're in the book of Luke chapter 1. And in the book of Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5 because we're going to pick up this conversation with Zacharias and his wife and what type of child they're going to have before he's even conceived into the woman's womb, to show that righteous people are ordained to come. Just like how there's wicked that's ordained to come, like the book of Jude said, you better believe you also got righteous that are ordained to come. And the righteous that are ordained to come don't fit the lake of fire because they was never meant for it. We're in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 5. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read 5 through 15.
Luke chapter 1, starting at the 5. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb.
And go ahead and read verse 16 and 17. We can read 16 and 17 too.
16 and 17.
Yeah.
And many Luke chapter 1 verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
I'm sorry, y'all. This type of person ain't fit for the fire. Even if he did drop the ball a couple of seconds, not this type of person. From the womb? You mean to tell me this man was going to be holy from the womb? You mean to tell me this man is going to be putting so much forth righteousness? But before we go any further, we're talking about this conversation. He wasn't even born yet. Before his parents had a good time and made this child, he was already ordained to come. And you better believe there's a lot of righteous brothers we read about in this Bible, or also some of us. This ain't no normal brother. Like this precept that's called the righteous, the wicked, and the normal. Scratch out wicked and normal and put a big old green circle on the righteous, because that's what he is. So even if we do drop the ball a little bit, or, you know, fight with the flesh, or even when you want to do good, evil is present with you, it won't go that far, because we'll be too busy trying to get back to the right. If we lean over to the left a little bit, it is already fit in our basic mindset to go back to the right. So when you're fighting with the flesh, it won't be that much, because your mind is so fixed and focused on God. So before we do anything else according to the scriptures, or when we talk about any type of platform, we got to understand the righteous, the differences between the righteous and the normal. Before John was born, he already had the throne, have a throne. So when the prophet John saw it in the Bible, in the scriptures, what did he say? I seen thrones and thrones was given unto them. You better believe this John is a part of that conversation. You better believe Samuel is a part of that conversation. You better believe Aaron is a part of that situation. You better believe Moses is a part of that situation. And you better believe King David is part of that conversation. And I'm even more fit to say that King Solomon shall be a part of that throne conversation too. Because even though they slipped off a little bit, you just don't throw people like that into the fire because they're not fit. I truly believe the Lord put their downfalls in these conversations is to let us know that even if we fall and drop the ball, still get back up and do what's right, because we got the prophets for an example. They didn't do right all the time. Ain't no telling what they done, because it ain't written, but some things are written. So no matter how hard life get, keep going. Because you might just be one of the brothers or sisters that was ordained a throne. Well, ordained to come to have a throne at that appointed time. Excuse me. Now let's look at another one. Let's go in the book of Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. Well, the book of Acts chapter 13, excuse me. The book of Acts, chapter 13. The book of Acts, chapter 13, and all we want is verse 22.
Acts chapter 13 and 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.
Now, before the Lord even appointed Samuel to go and anoint David to be the next king of Israel, before Samuel knew, God knew. Before Samuel went to get his oil and go down to Jesse and check his sons out to see which one was appointed for to be the next king of Israel, before all that happened, God knew that David was a man after his own heart. It makes you think, even after Saul dropped the ball and the Lord gave him a second chance, David was already in the conversation. You mean to tell me, even though you're giving me a second chance, I'm still going to lose my kingdom? Wow. Because if you go back and do your own research and you do your studying and the Lord gave Saul a second chance, you will hear Samuel saying that he has found the man after his own heart. After he still gave Saul a second chance. So what that tells us? God really wanted David to be king of Israel. Yeah, you did all right, Saul, but you know, you too hard-headed, man. Your faith ain't there, man. I found somebody better than you. He a man after my own heart. That ain't built for the fire, no matter how hard he dropped. Because no matter how hard he dropped, he go double up on righteousness and do even 10-plus times a better job to make sure he pleased the Father. That's how we think. When we drop the ball, or if we get too much fire in our foolishness, we be scared half to death, and then what you think we're going to do? Double up on our righteousness. Because it's very urgent and important for us to understand that our righteousness must exceed our shortcomings. It has to. And if you're one of these brothers that was ordained to come for righteousness, you will figure out a way how to do that. So now let's go into the book of 2 Samuel so we can understand this conversation. Because remember, the Bible said that David was a man out of his own heart. But now what we're going to do is put the pedestal of righteousness on. We're going to put the pedestal of the righteous versus a normal. And then we're going to find out that these are two different things. The righteous lived with it, but he paid dearly for it. But the normal got their ass demolished. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. Now, this is after King David, a man after God's own heart, fell a little too far in that flesh. And he really did some things that really got up under the Lord's skin. You know, taking a man's wife is one thing that you go pay duty for. Then you turn around and got the man killed. Then you had the audacity to write a letter and give it to him in his own hand about his own death and give it to Joab. And Joab found a place for this man to so he can die. The mission was a mission to kill an innocent man. Now, what if you was a normal man that pulled that off? And you wasn't one of these brothers that was ordained to come for righteousness. What do you possibly think will happen to that person? Just think about it. What do you possibly think that'll happen to him? What will happen to him if a normal man tried to pull off what David did? It won't look too well. So can a normal man lose his throne? That's trying to do what's right. You know, just a regular Joe Blow, just a regular guy that's trying to do something. He is a possibility that, you know, God can give him a throne, but a normal man can lose it. But if you are righteous, that's ordained to come, I don't think they can lose their thrones. Because you sit here and read about the brothers who got a throne, well, not a throne, but that's pulling forth his righteousness, and they dropped the ball. We have proven scriptures to show that a lot of them will get a throne. So let's look at this downfall of David. And it should scare us half to death. But even though David dropped the ball, he still going to be in the first resurrection. But let's check this story out. We're in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. And what we're going to do is read verses 7 through 15. The book of 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 15. When you get it, Brother McComey, go ahead and read.
2 Samuel chapter 12, I'm starting at the 7th. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, anointed thee king over Israel. And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee the master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, that thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick.
Whoa, so we got blasphemy? He did this thing on the slick, trying to be sneaky? But what really caught my eye, that's the thing right here. Even though the Lord said he ain't gonna die, even though he said he won't go die, the Lord said that your neighbor goes sleep with your wives. Do you know how much of a heartache that is? You don't know who that is. All he said was your neighbor. But you don't have a clue who that person is. You don't have a clue who your neighbor is. Because the book said, love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's just people in general. David didn't even know who that person was, but he knew it was going to come from somewhere. I know the Lord going to smack the hell out of me, but I just don't know where he going to slap me. He go low blow gut me in the stomach, but I just don't know where he go do it. He might get my ribs at. But all I know, he go do something dirty to me, but I don't know how he go do it. Don't that just freak you out and just make you so nervous when you drop the ball too bad, you don't know how God is coming? But this is a man that's after God's own heart. Now, you also think about it. When normally when people drop the ball that bad, they usually go off of life and just live life. And then come figure out, God willing, in the second resurrection, God pull it up on you. But when you look at this conversation here, the reason why the Lord gave that long list on how he going to beat the mess out of them is because you going to get the throne because it was ordained for you to get it. But I'd be damned if I let you get away with this, David. You go see the Father and you go reign with me forever. And you going to be just like me. To know all things. But before you get this, I'm going to beat the hell out of you. I'm going to beat you so bad and to the point that you would never want to do this part right here again. But you were ordained to come. You will get the first resurrection. And after I booted Saul, I checked your heart that you wasn't in after my own heart. So you're going to still get the throne because that was given to you before you can even speak words. But best believe I'm going to beat the mess out of you for what you pulled off. And your neighbor going to sleep with your wives. And I'm going to do this thing open so everybody can see it. And to switch it from vice versa, counterclockwise, to how you did it secretly. Let's find out who David's neighbor was. Let's go in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 16. Let's find out who this neighbor was. We're in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 16. And what we're going to do is read verses 21 through 23.
2 Samuel 16, 21.
21 to 23.
And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art a whoredom of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they speared Absalom a tent, spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. In the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom.
So now he knew who that neighbor was. Who would have thought that his son would be the one to pull off the stunt for a punishment? There's so many ways of putting that scripture. It's ridiculous. So many ways of putting that scripture. And the reason why I said that is this right here. It was a punishment for David. But David was ordained to have a throne. So what are we learning here? David needed somebody. He needed, the Lord had to take that blood from somebody. And guess what? Absalom was considered in the normal category. He wasn't nowhere near as great as King David was. And the things that he pulled off. I can't read nowhere where the Lord said Absalom was a man of his own heart. So what happened to a normal man when he pulled off a stunt that a righteous man has done? On your own time, read the story what Joab and them soldiers did to his son. Took, what, 5 spears and splashed his heart wide open. And when you go and read and look them definitions up, they beat the hell out of Absalom. They beat the hell out of him. And when they say they were smoting them, just imagine you getting about 25, 30 people just jabbing you with a sword and slicing you up and beating the hell out of you while you're at it, while you probably trying to pull the spears out your heart. Okay, cool, baby. I'm going to blog talk to you. Thank you. Even though Absalom could have been great for the kingdom, but his pedestal was nowhere near as high as King David. Somebody got to pay for it. So what that tell the righteous that might be ordained to come? That we got to keep our sins at a minimum. Because if we don't, God forbid, that we got to go through something like this. But all this happened to a righteous man. A righteous man that fell too far off to the left side. But the Lord backed him back to the right side. And the Lord got his pound of flesh. So you still getting the kingdom, but you go be very, very, very in pain. What you go find out what I'm going to do to you. That child you fasted for, he dead, no matter. Yeah, you got the wife, and you know, I'll get you something good out of that. But that boy you love, that boy that could be fit to your kingdom, he going to take your spot. And to make sure he take your spot, and the damage you cause is enough to go to the fire. He going to take your spot. And he going to sleep with 10 of your wives so he can't come back from it. But you will live and get the kingdom. So I ain't saying to go off and try to get into all that sin you like, because the Lord will get his pound of flesh. But even though a righteous man fell off the bucket, he still got the kingdom. He just had to get beat up for it. Now let's look at more of this. Let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 99. The book of Psalms chapter 99. So we understand this. And then what we're going to do is we're going to stop the precept and we're going to look up this word invention. So let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 99. Because even though you might not pay for it, but somebody has to pay for it. We just seen it with David. There ain't did nothing happen to David. He didn't get a smack in the face, but somebody had to pay for it. And what we're going to do is look at these scriptures and find out that somebody had to pay for these brothers too. We're in the book of Psalms 99. The book of Psalms 99 and verse 6 through 9. The book of Psalms 99, 6 through 9. When you get it, Elder, go ahead and read.
Psalms 99, starting at the 6th. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloud pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredest them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance on their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
Amen. Right? So now we talk about Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. But if you check out these scriptures, and you guess that's why you got to really, 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 really study shows of approve and always have a who, what, when, where, and how when you're dealing with anything in the scriptures. because it's just that quick to miss something that's so plain and clear in your eyesight. Now, if you sit here and look and read verse 7, it said, he spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou took vengeance of their inventions. So you mean to tell me that they're doing what God tell them to do, but even though they're doing what God told them to do, they still had their own invention. And God forgave them. Why do you think God forgave them even though they took out their own inventions? So what we're going to do first is look the word inventions up in the noun. And this is the word invention. Fabrication, which just means a lie. Myth, fairy tale, fib, and untruth. You mean to tell me Moses, Aaron, and Samuel was on something like that? But if you look at verse 7, it simply said they kept his testimonies and his ordinance. So even though they took care of his thing, it seemed like they had their own little deal going on too. But the book said he forgave them, right? Why do you think God forgave them? Because they were ordained to come for righteousness. And if they were ordained to come for righteousness, that means that they have to be set up for a throne anyway. But even though they had their own inventions, somebody had to pay for it. So what I'm going to do is read verse 8 again. It says, thou answerest them, O Lord our God, thou was a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. So if he took vengeance on their inventions, who you think paid for it? The people. The people paid for their inventions. Because who was Moses talking to in the wilderness? Wasn't he talking to the multitude of the 12 tribes of Israel and Aaron? So if he took vengeance on their inventions, that means you got to find out who they were talking to. And he ain't going to take vengeance out on the sky. The sky ain't do nothing. But somebody got to pay for this madness. Somebody got to pay for the myths. Somebody got to pay for the lies. Somebody got to, the Lord got to take vengeance on the myths. He got to take vengeance on the lies. He got to take vengeance on the fairy tales. He got to take vengeance on the fibs. And he also got to take vengeance on the untruth. Even though I forgave y'all for it, but somebody got to pay. Because even though y'all started it, but you did take care of my business, and I already got this stuff written out for y'all to come anyway. But somebody got to pay for it. He took vengeance on it. And if you look at their stories and how you read their stories, they always around a multitude of people. So somebody in that thing had to take it. So somebody had to give vengeance on that. So that's why it's very important to read for yourself. It's very important to take heed to the instructions and not to be out here listening to every man and their mama. Because ain't no telling who could get the blame for it. Why? Let's go to the book of Revelations and let's put the righteous with the normal on a pedestal. Let's go to the book of Revelations chapter 22. The book of Revelations chapter 22. And what we're going to do is read one verse, verse 19. Because when you look at verse 19, this ain't nothing but invention itself too. It's not the truth, it's a lie, it's an idle tale, it's a fairy tale, it's an idle story. But what the books say about people who do that and what's going to happen to them. The book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Revelations 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
But not Moses. not Aaron, not Samuel, because they were ordained to come for righteousness. But what of a normal man or somebody that's not, that was not in the position of the righteous? Then he got himself a trouble. He got himself an issue. So now we should be able to see the differences between the righteous who are ordained to come versus just a regular man. These are two whole different stories. Two whole different stories. Because if you fit for the kingdom, the Lord called you for that kingdom, you go get it. But if you're just a regular man who the Lord showing mercy to, try to pull off this stunt right here, then he got himself into some trouble he can't get himself out of. These are two different type of platform of people we're talking about. Now let's look at some of these things that the righteous do to help us out a lot. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 34, verse 15. And I got two more after this. The book of Psalms chapter 34, verse 15. The book of Psalms chapter 34 and just verse 15. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Psalms 34 and 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry.
So what is this telling us? What do the righteous who are ordained to come do? They cry. And if they cry, what does that mean? That they have a broken and a contrite spirit. A broken spirit. You don't like the things you're doing. You're just trying your best to get it right. Lord, you show me all this great stuff, and I got to try to do better. And we will do better if we ordain to come. We just got to make sure we stick to the plan. Let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 119. The book of Psalms chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, and all we want is verse 10. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Psalms 119 and 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Amen. I said 119. Okay, ooh, that's why. Hold on 1 second. I'm in 109. I know that was looking kind of funky. 1 second. Okay, 119. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And you're not going to if you simply just up on what the Lord tell you to do. Because you got to understand, man, you know, when the Lord calls you for great things and righteous things, you got to understand, boy, a party to us is being in the book. You know, you've got your coffee. You know, you got your scriptures playing in the background. You know, you're doing more studies and searching. You're out there trying to take care of the business and walk upright. But we got to understand, for a servant of God, our paradise, our yellow golden clouds of joy is basically at home. Manning our own business, taking care of the scriptures, judging ourselves and how we can do better as a servant of Most High God. And we're out and about, we try to put on the best behavior we possibly can. So this conversation is fit for us that's really trying to get this thing right. Because the highlight of our day is talking about God. The highlight of our day is meditating on the Word of God. The highlight of our days is to knock off as much foolishness as we possibly can and be a great light and example to other people. That's the highlight of our day. So if you not fit for, if you're a person that's not trying to seek and serve God, our lifestyle will be very boring to people. But to the righteous, boy, shoot, this right on the money. Now, let's go on to the last scripture to put the icing on the cake. Let's go in the book of Romans chapter 9, the book of Romans chapter 9, and this will be last. The book of Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9, and what we're going to do is read verses 15 through 18. Romans 9, 15 through 18. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Romans chapter 9, starting at the 15. For he saith to Moses, I have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore have he have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he have will harden he, and whom he will he harden it.
So that's the whole icing on the cake. So before Pharaoh was even ordained to come, before he thought he was big man on campus, the Lord gave him all them positions. So I'm going to create you to make you great, so I can knock you down and flex my muscles and show my power. At the end of the day, that mercy we looked at with the servants, the Lord blessed us. The Lord has given mercy unto them servants, because of the greatness he had in store for them to do. He showed with the normal, and he might show it with other people too. But this is actually a set up platform on how God do things before the ordained or the wicked or the normal are even created. It's already set up for a platform for them. Okay? All right, Brother Nicole, you want to pull that scripture out?
Okay. Wisdom of Solomon. And it is Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, 13 through 21. And it reads, I learn diligently and do communicate her liberally. I do not hide her riches, for she is a treasure unto men that never faileth, which they that use become the friends of God, being commended for the gifts that come from learning. God have granted me to speak as I would, and to conceive as is meet for the things that are given me, because it is he that leadeth unto wisdom and directeth the wise, for in his hand are both we and our words, all wisdom also and knowledge of workmanship. For he has given me certain knowledge of the things that are, namely to know how the world was made in the operation of the elements, the beginning, ending, and midst of the times, the alteration of the turning of the sun and the changing of the seasons, the circuits of years and the position of stars, the natures of living creatures and the fury of wild beasts, the violence of winds and the reasoning of men, the diversity of plants and the virtue of roots, and all such things as are either secret or manifest, them I know. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verses 13 to 21.
Amen. Hand in glove. Hand in glove. We go seek and search this thing out. Definitely the Lord called us from great before we was even ordained to come. All praises. And that's the precept for today, a regular setup platform to show the differences between the righteous and the normal and how we put them both on the platform. And through the grace of God, next week we should get more into the wicked and the normal and set up that platform. But this is part one, and it's a new platform. So through the grace of God, I hope we got an understanding and understand how God separate things, that he don't show favoritism. He do not show favoritism. But if you are ordained to come to do righteousness, then it's different than any other normal Joe Blow that's just coming around thinking he is real. Two separate things, two different platforms. So through the grace of God, we got to understand that a precept that's called the righteous, the wicked, and the normal. And I thank y'all for y'all time. Amen. I turn things over to Brother Joe and Sister Rhea. And great reading, Brother McCormick. Excellent reading.
Great message, Brother Isaiah. Excellent reading, Brother McCormick. And I like that Wisdom of Solomon, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, big bro.
Shalom, is right. Wonderful precept. Just listening to it, you know, the Father having a law when it comes to the sacrifices and the offering, that is to say, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, sin offerings, and free will offerings. But then, it's a burnt offering that's offered. It's not even offered on a fire. It'll never see the ark. It'll never see the fire. And it's called the first fruits. The first fruit will not see the fire. So that's dead on. The first fruit is not going to see the fire. That's the sacrifice. That's the sacrifice. The sin offering is a sacrifice. Sin offering is going to be a sacrifice to the Father. It's still sacrifice with salt. Every sacrifice is going to be salt. But get this. You know what? You know what, Nakomi? Your brother Isaiah pulled a Elihu on us. He pulled one of them deals. A brother Elihu.
All right, man. Father's
name. You got Job 36:1.
Y'all can pull it.
Okay.
Job
Watch this. Now listen to Elihu. Listen at the spirit that's on this brother. He got the thing. I said this that's what God loves. 36:1, when you receive a read.
Elihu also proceeded and said, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them from ever, forever, and they are exalted.
Stop! Stop! No, no, you see that? Do you see? You've been talking about it all night.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? They're established already. They've been established for what?
Yeah, what? I see it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right there. That came from who? Elihu.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, this brother pulled an Elihu on us, right? Okay, keep reading. Now look what he said about these men. Now watch this here. Read on.
Verse 8. And if they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction.
Who?
Then he's
the righteous.
The right.
In verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there's none that sinneth and there's none that doeth good and sinneth not. Then
mm-hmm.
David was put in, he was what put in? He was bound in fetters and cords and affliction. So David felt
mm-hmm.
affliction. Okay. But
mm-hmm.
he is. He's one of those kings. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded.
They extra. It ain't
mm-hmm.
just, man, what you're saying is that your sins are extra. So now I got to get you. I got to jam you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. That's what you was talking about. You going to pay.
Uh-huh.
You may still get into the place following it, but you're going to pay. And they ain't going to be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
He openeth also their ears to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity.
He ain't talking to the wicked because he created the wicked for the wicked day. He ain't
mm-hmm.
talking to them. He's talking to the sons of God, the elect, the very elect. And those who he called, not the normal. The normal may fall in this category with perseverance. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But he ain't talking to them. He's talking about those that was born for this.
Because mm-hmm.
he said they were established forever. Read on.
If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. And their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge.
What?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what happened to Saul. Didn't he have a Holy Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
You can lose your crown. That's why Paul warned us. Continue.
But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he biteth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth all the sons of his affliction, and excuse me one second. Well, he delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression.
There go the heart after God, the broken and the contrite spirit. Right there. He delivered them. But if you coming up like he said there, you know, the hypocrite, he for wrath. And they cry when he put them in check. Read on.
Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place, where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness.
See, you had the opportunity to get into the kingdom and eat with God. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
But this is what this is about. Sitting at his table with the king. Read
mm-hmm.
on.
But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee.
Say what?
Mm.
So what was that ransom that David paid? Who paid for David?
Absalom.
go to Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs 21 and 18. I got one more after this. Proverbs 21 and 18.
The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressors for the upright.
See that? Mm-hmm. Ain't that what happened to Absalom? He did what? He slept with 10 of his father's wives. So that was double the crime, plus he slept with his father's wife, which made it a triple abomination.
Mm-hmm.
That's like trying to serve 3 life sentences. Ain't no good. That's no parole, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
See that? So he took the place of his father. You see that? The wicked shall be in a ransom for the righteous, because David is what? The righteous.
Righteous. Right?
Mm-hmm. But he paid for his son, which was what? Wicked. One more verse. Proverbs 11 and 8.
The book of Proverbs 11 and 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead.
Mm. Say what?
Mm-hmm.
The righteous is delivered out of trouble because he's supposed to pay for his own crime. But the wicked, the Lord reserved the wicked for what? A sacrifice, a sin offering.
Yeah, buddy.
They were born for that. You better thank God you wasn't born a chicken. Feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like I said, his brother pulled an Ellie Hue on us for real. That was some real drama. I love his precept. All praise to the Father, Jesus' name, man. I yield the mic.
Amen, bro. Those some great scripts too, bro. Man, those some good ones. Ram with the money. All praises. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom, big bro.
Great precept, but great precept, bro. But I'm finna show you something that the Spirit showed me through your precept, and showed me about the call during your precept, and people that's called from their birth, and it goes through the numbers. Most of the people that are called from birth are number 3s. We dealt with Jeremiah called, right? Guess what tribe Jeremiah came from. Jeremiah is from the tribe of Benjamin, the 12th tribe. 1 and 2 is what?
3.
We also talked about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is from the tribe of who? Levi. Which is what? The 3rd tribe.
The 3rd. Oh, yeah.
Paul was a chosen vessel of God. What tribe was Paul from? Paul's from tribe Benjamin.
Benjamin.
3. King Saul was, God chose King Saul to be king. What tribe is King Saul from, people?
Benjamin.
12. Even from Adam, when did we start having the ability to call on the Lord?
Through Seth.
Enos.
He knows.
The 3rd from Adam, number 3. Then King David is also, even though he's of the tribe of Judah, but if you know the generations from Adam, and it tell you, and then we count the generations, King David is the 48th person from Adam, or 48 is what, 12 or 3. So He's showing you that most of the not called but chosen are number threes, are connected in a vibration of three, including Moses. Moses is a number is of Levi. So I thank you, and I thank you because the Spirit came on me. I didn't know this. I saw this through this, and I'm going to do more dealing with the call and see how this keeps going on. With that, I yield the mic. Great lesson. Thank you.
Amen, bro. Amen. Do your thing, bro. Do your thing. The grace of God, I'll be able to read for you when you do it. All praises. All praises. Amen. So do we have any more that would like to speak? Testimony? All right. Do we have any announcements?
Well, tomorrow evening, well, first and foremost, man, we want to thank you, Brother Brown, man, Brother Isaiah Brown. AKA Eddie Hughes for the U. No, man, that's all
Amen.
Good. That was a great precept, Jack. Excellent precept. Phenomenal.
All praise to the Father. Amen.
That's on point and right on target. When the Lord, when the lesson and the precept is on point, the scriptures and the spirit will testify. And like your brother McComber was, he was in the spirit, even in the spirit. You dig? So, hey,
Amen.
This is great from the Lord. So, hey, all praises to the Father for allowing us to be in His Spirit this evening and allowing us to take part in that. There was a wonderful thing that was revealed to us this evening. And those of us that don't know about them Bible codes, you better understand that that 1, 2, 3 mean everything to you and I. And it's right there in the scripts. Right there everywhere. It's right there everywhere. Light, water, earth. That's everything to us. We got to learn. That's what your brother was just showing. So, tomorrow evening, I'm going to be here at the Sounds of Liberty at the Commonwealth of Israel. Myself, Sister Rhea, and what did we do last Sabbath? Because on the Sabbath day, we're going to deal with the we're going to say the medical. We're dealing with the forward and the forward. That's the Sabbath. Friday night, because we didn't finish that precept. Yes, the kingdom of God tomorrow evening. We got to finish that precept. Oh, we got to finish it because we had just gotten to the children. And all and to the intricates of what the kingdom is going to be about, be like, you know, just say we make it to the first resurrection. Those that are born, like my brother was talking about earlier, that have come up in the first resurrection, going to see all of this, right? And those of us come up in the second resurrection is going to get the mercy and see the kingdom of God. But we don't get to see this glory if you don't come up in the first resurrection. It's going to be all good when man and God is going to be on the earth together.
Right.
That's where we want to be. So we're going to be dealing with that tomorrow evening. The kingdom of God. Okay. And once again, Sabbath day, we're going to be dealing with the forward spirit is a door to a reprobate mind. A forward spirit is the door to a reprobate mind, part two. Last week, we really got into the forward to show what the, a forward spirit is. and how it do relate to a reprobate, but it's not exactly a reprobate until it can't return. The Lord talks to a forward spirit and try to call it to return. If it don't, then he'll let it go. But he don't mess around with forward spirits. That's a short term thing with him. So you can't even entertain that. So we dealt with a lot of that last week, and then this week we want to deal with how that leads right into becoming a reprobate, and you do not want that. Okay, so Brother Brown, Brother Isaiah Brown, that was a great precept, yes, Jew. Man, wonderful precept. Any closing comments?
No.
We don't have any here.
No closing comments. No,
okay.
Just let's
okay.
put it on my mind. You know, that precept you bring, that's going to be enough said. So get everybody prepared for that fire you bring on the Sabbath. I'm waiting for it. I need to hear it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not to forget our brother Miles, Saturday evening, okay? Want to be there for that. God's Global Kingdom Ministry, dealing with the book of Romans. Right, Romans chapter 11, Rowley. Yeah, Romans chapter 11, and moving on. That's he getting the book done. He walking the New Testament. Amen to that. And with all of that being said, once again, want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown, coming out of Peoria, Illinois, place of Richard Pride. With the spirit of meekness and charity and Bible study class.
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank you for that, man. Thank you for the precept. We also want to thank everybody for their great reading, too, Brother Nakoma. Wonderful job.
Excellent reading.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Always bringing it
in. I can tell
he
was
always
in the spirit.
Not Apocrypha keep it jailed.
Yeah, I'm talking about if you've been dealing with the sounds of living water, every scripture, beginning scripture from Apocrypha, how come it always go hand in glove with every precept we do?
Chilling.
That's just a little bit on your mind. So I guess I do got something to say, you know, for the people who are throwing bricks at the Apocrypha, you know. If it ain't your heart to read it, then, hey, leave it to yourself. But don't call somebody else not to read this good stuff, because I've been doing this thing for about 2 years now. All praise to the Father. And every time you read for me, you read, what do? You read the Apocrypha. And if it was such a type of book, why is it always going hand in glove with the scriptures, according to the KJV? Now get a mic with that.
Hallelujah. And my own witness is this is that. The original King James came with the Apocrypha, and the witness of that is that the Catholic Bible still carries the Apocrypha. And it's built off the 1611. They don't say Revelation, they call it the Apocrypha. So the Catholic Bible was built off of the 1611 King James. Except for they using the letter J. So, yeah, the Apocrypha is supposed to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, amen. So, with all of that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. And we wholly edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of Living Water, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.